This is Day to Day from NPR News. I'm Joe Palca. William Shakespeare's plays continue to delight and inspire actors and audiences. Productions of Hamlet or Romeo and Juliet are still hugely popular. But The Merchant of Venice is considered more problematic. The play's central conflict pits a vengeful Jewish moneylender against a generous Christian merchant in 16th century Italy. Many find Merchant an anti-Semitic period piece that can't be redeemed even by the best performers. But Oscar-winning actor Jeremy Irons disagrees. He plays the title character in a new film adaptation of The Merchant of Venice, and he recently spoke with our own Alex Chadwick about the movie and his career.
What do you find in this character, Antonio, in The Merchant of Venice, one of the great plays of all time? How do you find something new in there in yourself, in that character?
Well, I've never played Antonio before. I've seen the play a few times. Shakespeare gives you a lot of clues about the character, about how he is. I mean, the very first thing he says is, I don't know why I feel so sad. It wearies me. I mean, you say it wearies you, but believe me, I don't know why it is. And we've all had that. We've all had periods in our life where we just are melancholy, where we feel something's going to happen. We feel uneasy. We don't know why it is. And so that's how we find him at the start. He knows something earth-shifting is going to happen in his life, and indeed it proceeds to do so. And so you know that he's a sort of a slightly depressive character, a character who's come to an age of being a very successful merchant. He lacks nothing in the material sense, but he lacks an enormous amount in the emotional sense. He has no family. Shakespeare doesn't give him a backstory, but I gave him one, that he had a young wife who died in childbirth, and he'd never found another wife. And as he got older, he does what many wise people do, which is that in order to, in a way, fight against age, you revitalize yourself with surrounding yourself with young people.
His young friend Bassano, who gets him in trouble because he needs the money that Antonio borrows from Shylock and incurs this debt that is to be paid by a pound of flesh.
Mm. I mean, he lends to Bassanio because he loves the boy rather like a son, and Bassanio comes in having wasted a lot of his own money and says, listen, I want to woo this woman, this girl called Portia, who's fantastic, who everybody's after, and a lot of very rich people are after. I haven't got any money. I really, you know, I think she fancies me, and I think I've got a chance. And so Antonio says, okay, I'll lend you some money.
To you, Antonio, I owe the most in money and in love. And from your love, I have a warranty to unburden all my plots and purposes, how to get clear of all the debts I owe.
I pray you, good Bassanio, let me know it. And if it stand, as you yourself still do, within the eye of honor, be assured, my purse, my person, my extremest means, lie all unlocked to your occasion.
As an actor, would a role in Shakespeare be especially desirable? Or
yeah. To have the chance to play this writer, I mean, he has to be one of the best writers in the world. The depth, which you're always looking for, the as an actor, you're always looking for writing which is multi-layered, which is deep, which has inconsistencies, which have all the things which mirror the reality of people in life. Most film writing is pretty two-dimensional. You perform a function in the story, but it's not. Inconsistencies are not something that modern writers aim for. The great writers do, because they see that as people we are inconsistent.
If I may say, your own record in film, and I haven't seen you on stage, but I know you really in film and television, you consistently portray interesting characters. Characters who are more interesting than it seems would fall to one by chance.
I've always been attracted to complicated, enigmatic, disruptive characters, characters that make you question, characters which for me allow me to explore areas of life, of behavior, of personality, which I don't use in my life.
There is an element of creepiness in many of these characters you portray. Is creepy the right word? I don't know.
Creepy is a good shorthand word. It's not a word I like, but I suppose Klaus von Bülow certainly was an enigma. Maybe you'd find him creepy. Dead ringers, the twins, yeah, they're a little bit creepy. Humbert in Lolita, you could describe him as creepy. I mean, I describe him as rather sad, personally. But then I play other stuff as well. I mean, I've just been working with Ridley Scott in the desert, making Kingdom of Heaven about the Second Crusade, playing the Marshal of the Jerusalem Army, and he's an old warrior. He's not creepy. But I suppose I like to keep the audience guessing. And maybe some people find that creepy, I don't know. I like to make them watch, make them happen. They need to make their own decision about these people. What are they like? Are they good? Are they bad? What are they about?
You've been an actor for more than 30 years now. Who are the people that you would like to work with?
I don't name names.
Yes.
Because you always forget somebody
right. Who
gets hurt and actually who you'd probably really like to work with. I'm very attracted to talent. I like real talent. It's a joy to work with someone like Al Pacino in Merchant of Venice. It's so easy. It's like playing tennis with John McEnroe. You know, it just makes your game better, and you have a great time.
Earlier in the film, your character, Antonio, spits in Shylock's face. Did you actually spit in Al Pacino's face?
No, the magic of film is that we shot those two shots in different places at different times. You have to, in order to make it work, you have to take quite a lot of sort of egg white into your mouth beforehand so that you have something which the camera sees. It's all technical, you know, everything we do.
It's not just technical, because it's a social taboo. It's something that you just learn never to do, to overcome that sense of social taboo.
Well, it's report in the play. It's reported that he does it. We thought it was quite important to see it happen because it is such a strong action. It's in the middle of a sort of small riot, and it's a sort of panicked thing. He might have kicked out or whatever, but he spat. And I'm sure when he got home, he regretted it enormously. But it didn't mean that much to him. To Shylock, it meant a huge amount. And I think if there's a lesson to be learned from Shakespeare's play, which is about anti-Semitism, because it was between the Christians and the Jews, the problem at that time in Europe. But now we have the same problem between fundamentalist Christians and fundamentalist Muslims. And I think the reason why Shakespeare is such a great writer is that the human condition about which he writes so well hasn't changed, doesn't change.
Jeremy Irons, thank you for joining us on Day to Day.
Thanks for inviting me on. It's been good talking to you.
That interview by Day to Day's Alex Chadwick. To hear more of that interview and to see pictures of Jeremy Irons, go to our website, npr.org. Tomorrow, we'll hear from a commentator who believes the play, The Merchant of Venice, is riddled with anti-Semitism that the film can't escape.